You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hello and welcome. I would like to report that none of us have died. Alex is here with me. I'm obviously, you're hearing my voice, so I'm still alive.
And here I am.
Yep.
Live and kicking.
Yep. So, gonna make a promise to people who've stuck with us and then try to get some people back. It's been a really rough season for both of us in terms of being able to find time to create this podcast.
A lot of personal things, right, that have come in the way.
Yeah. Work, jobs, personal things. It just has travel, you name it. It's just kind of lined up in such a way that we can't find a common time that works for both of us, except for last week, right? So last week we recorded what I would call a perfect podcast. So perfect being that I don't think there has ever been a podcast that the two of us have done where there hasn't been at least a couple of edits to it. And when I sat down last week to edit this thing, I listened all the way through and did not make a single edit.
And then Murphy stuck his ugly head.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I guess I hadn't, you know, restarted the MacBook in quite a long time. And it was not auto-saving and not giving me any warnings. And I was manually saving it as part of the process. And none of that seemed to work. And then when I discovered that it wasn't saving, I tried to take the audio files and, you know, export them so I could at least recover them. And when I did that, the whole machine crashed. And when it came back, all the temporary files were gone and it became the lost episode. So,
hey, you know, Scotty, can I interrupt you real quick?
Sure, sure.
Because when I said Murphy Law, which maybe I'll educate the... I don't know if everybody knows this, but do you know why they call it Murphy's Law?
I used to.
Okay.
You
don't know it now.
I love those little origin stories.
Me too. I love this thing. Yep. But he was an American aerospace engineer. Now it hits, right? Who said that if anything can go wrong, will go wrong. And you know, that's the guy who actually is responsible for the so-called Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Which is just happened to us. So, but here we are, man. It was a great podcast, God. I remember when we did it, I remember thinking to myself, God, this is one of the most high energy, fun podcasts I've ever done.
Yeah, there were no like gaps or pauses. We were also just rolling off each other.
But also, Scott, we were both grateful to be back doing this because this is something that we do, you know, for passion and love. And we know that things have been rough this year, but boy, it was just great to see our Dolphins turn things around. The big trade had happened. Mm-hmm. That podcast was awesome, but we have to move on. And I think we got some great stuff to cover today. What are we going to be covering today?
So we started out with the lost episode story. We're done with that. Check.
That's done. Check mark.
We have to revisit the trades that we talked about, the last
Love
minute
those trades.
Trades.
Yeah, let's talk about them real quick.
We'll just mention Steelers and Lions because we covered that in the lost episode, and we're not going to cover it today. But, you know, maybe there's a progression that we'd want to talk about, right? That comes from both of those games, some progression of player and coaching as well. And then, of course, let's cover the Bears game.
The Bears games, boy. Yes. What a game.
Yep.
What a game.
A few comments.
I'll take the W. That's my first comment.
Before we close down with the Browns, we'll insert some observations on some players and some improvements, some positive stuff. And then, yeah. Yep, that'll be it.
Okay, let's rock.
Okay. Well, let's pull from... I have to refer to notes to instigate my memory, so let's pull some of these observations from the Steelers and Lions game. So one of the things we talked about was, of course, our regret. Our original plan was to go to that Steelers game.
That's right.
Yeah. It was Tua's first game back, and he did enough to win, but did not look good.
No.
So, you know, we talked about the four balls that
could have been intercepted
were all dropped interceptions.
Yeah, a couple.
Right?
Yeah.
He was throwing high. He was throwing behind.
Yeah,
he was throwing under.
He, like the saying says, you know, another cliche, he looked rusty.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
So, and, you know, in those circumstances in real life, yes, defenders drop interceptions all the time. That's why they're not receivers. But usually, you know,
they'll grab a couple.
They'll get a couple, and those are game changers.
And Pittsburgh's defense is not good this year. They just are.
Without Minkah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean, he's back. He did some great plays, but, you know, they're also missing Watts, and he's been out. And, you know, without a pass rush, you know, that's why the Dolphins did what we were going to talk about shortly again. That's why we did that trade, to get some pass rush generated.
Yeah. Start out with, you know, focus of criticism on Eichenberg, and I don't want to put a focus on him anymore.
Let's wish for a speedy recovery for the kid.
Yeah. And now, you know, we can see he was evolving. At least, you know, his pass blocking was still rough.
He had one of his highest rating.
Right. But his run blocking, that left side of the line was starting to show up.
Yeah,
and the run game, I'm so excited about it now. So I don't want to jump too far ahead.
Sure.
But it's, you know, the changes have helped us. So
the Lion game, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Lion game. You know what? The first thing, I mean, quickly to touch on that game, the penalties were so overwhelming.
Yes. And it's been,
you know, similar to what happened in the Pittsburgh game and the other game, which is a lot of penalties. And that's something that's going to be exciting about this Bear game that we can talk about shortly. But,
yes.
But that game was the thing that stuck out, was the penalties and how pathetic we looked in the first half defensively and how awesome we looked offensively.
It was the night and day thing. Right? The Lions, who are not world beaters, came out and rolled through us in the first half.
Yeah.
Just practically scored at will. Up and down the field.
Yep.
And the defense was just a complete head-scratcher to me.
It was so unreal. But second half comes, and we do some sort of adjustments that where the defense did become, you know, it became like the old defense, and all of a sudden they scored zero. So we shut them out the second half, and the box score looked like we should have just destroyed them.
Right.
I mean,
because
we owned them, yardage, time of possession, every single aspect. The Dolphins were outplaying the hell out of these guys.
But these Dolphins don't seem to. Yeah, I don't want
to
say
they know how to
be managed well, but. We're going to talk about McDaniels today.
We got the W's.
And the positive and some of the negatives and some of the areas that he needs to really embrace continuous improvement because, he's got some areas
to
improve.
We got three straight W's, two of them on the road, which is in the NFL.
Which is great.
Never easy.
Yep. Well, we're not knocking the W's.
But we've watched a constant thing happening with McDaniel that we're going to bring it up today and see, you know, what the people think out there and what you and I think about what a couple of the things that are mystifying.
Yeah, I've got notes and notes and notes and some frustration around it. And So in
comes the Bears, right?
So,
Detroit?
You know, one of my favorite things is to mention a few players out of games, either super positive or, you know, some of the like, oh, my gosh, what the heck happened?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Waddle's bad game that cost us a game and. You know, Tua's awesome, you know, second half and all these things. So I wanted to, because I felt like we were missing a couple things. It was not cool for you, but kind of cool to see Ingold get his first NFL touchdown against the Lions.
It was cool for me. It's just weird that they stole it from Tua. But, you know, for those that, I mean, we mentioned in the last podcast, I've been starting Tua in fantasy football and having a great time with it.
Yeah,
and
it makes it even more fun to watch the Dolphins and just be double pulling for Tua.
And how awesome he's doing. It's just, you know, it's like ching ching every time he's out there.
Yep. Yep.
Fantasy points all over the place.
I want to say I just, you know, Zach Seeler was a Detroit, you know, area native.
Yeah, and he played his tail off.
He's been good all year.
Yeah, I know he is.
So,
he's been one of the rock.
It just seemed like he elevated an extra level, batting down balls and getting pressures.
He's a sure thing in a defense that's been a little leaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little leaky.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're chomping at the bit for the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
We just barely touched on those two.
Before the Bears, we got to get to the trade.
You're up right. So trade deadline happened between the Lions and Bears.
And, you know, the trade's been talked.
Bears, oh, my.
But yeah, all the animals. when that happened, my first thought is, of course, we were all in on Tua. And I was super excited about both of them. I know it's past tense, but we talked about that. I really thought Wilson and Chubbs were going to have immediate impacts.
Yeah. So my, you know, in the last episode, in our lost episode, my observation was, you know, immediate impact versus eventual impact. And I didn't know a lot about Wilson.
I did.
And I admit it.
I've been having him in fantasy radar for years.
Yeah. And so I looked at some of his stats and stuff. I don't ever remember seeing him carry the ball. I've seen some San Francisco games, but, you know. So my thing was Chubb's going to come in and give us that extra bit of edge rush that we haven't had from mostly left side of the game,
it's
right?
Something that you don't have to learn a playbook to do to rush.
Because Ogba has disappeared.
Yeah, Ogba's been injured.
He has not been
the
previous Ogba. He's not there. He's not pressuring. He's not beating his guy. He's, you know, when he is in there. And so I don't know what happened. Right? We've heard back injury or whatever, but he's clearly not got what he had before this season.
And with all our corner injuries and now safety injuries, we're having a lot of issues in the defense, and it's showing. The defense is pedestrian.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom line.
Yeah, it's not looking good. So so I thought Chubb would have a semi-immediate impact as long as we could get him in there. And, you know, he understood the defensive play calls and – he's just pinning his ears back, essentially.
I heard Bocamper talking about this, and he said it takes about 5 minutes to learn, to learn a playbook and be able to be a defensive end in football. And, you know, obviously he was probably understating it a bit, but you felt that he, especially with a quarterback like Fields, he was going to be able to get in there and help, you know, contain him. That's what my thoughts were.
Yeah.
And then Wilson, I had zero doubts about, because Wilson reminded me of the running backs that I love, the guys that run with that tenacity.
I didn't even know we were going to see him in this game, with 3 days on the squad.
I knew for sure we were going to see him.
Yeah.
And all this talk about language.
I thought it would be Ahmed out there or Gaskin or something.
It's the same scheme.
With Edmonds gone.
Identical scheme, and you have a guy that's out of the shadows now over there. Of McCaffrey, he now knows he's going to come here and have a shot to be number one, and he runs like the world is ending.
So the bottom line
every
with
run,
him
vicious,
right? Let's talk about him. So
love him.
As I observed this game, and I was first surprised and then pleased and then excited. He is basically everything we thought Edmonds was going to be,
and more.
Because
I never thought Edmonds was really a tenacious runner.
So
like
his first
powerful,
game, 3 days on the team, basically, right?
Yes.
He has the best run, the longest run of the season from our running backs. That's amazing.
Well, here's
what I love about it. Okay, my observation about him, and this is one of my favorite things about good running backs. Good, and it's not an obvious thing, right? It's speed or agility, whatever. It's vision.
He has it.
He has the vision, right? And, of course, the agility to cut. Because cutbacks are the thing I remember from guys like Walter Payton and Barry Sanders, right? When you have the ability to see with good vision and react agility with cutbacks to gaps that we can see on the TV screen but are very hard to see when you're standing on the grass, right?
Yes.
and it's going at 1,000 miles an hour. And he had it. And that's what made that big run. It was, you know, he hit the gap. I think he hit the gap that was called with the play, but he cut back.
Well, let me give you a couple of interesting things that I see here on Mr. Wilson. He had 5.7 yards per attempt. He had 9 rushing attempts. Raheem had 9.
So it was dead even.
Dead even. But in zone blocking, he was in 8. He hit 1 gap. Raheem was 4-4. He had a 28-yard long run.
Yeah.
Raheem had a 14 yards. They both obviously had one over 10 yards. If you look at both running backs.
And we didn't run a lot.
And considering this is their first game that he's in a Dolphin uniform.
Yeah.
He's looking awesome.
The green arrow is up, man.
It's very strong for him.
Yep.
And I see him.
So his catch in the flat for the touchdown, too.
I see him as our passing back.
Good hands, mm-hmm. right?
Great because hands.
The ball wasn't right there. He had to reach out and snag it and then tiptoed the sideline and dove to get that ball across the plane.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything I didn't like about that play.
No, everything was solid. I mean, his grades in passing were crazy. I mean, he was targeted 3 times. You know how many receptions?
Must have been 3.
3? That shows what you were talking about, his hands.
Yes.
We don't want to talk about departed guys, but the last back that was here filling that role did not catch a lot of pelotas.
No, he dropped a lot.
He was dropping a lot. But but here's the interesting thing. Raheem targeted once, no reception. This is the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Grades off the chart. I mean, everything is in the 70s for Wilson.
OPFF.
For receiving. I mean, really played great. I mean, really, really proud of him and happy to have him. When that trade happened, I called you immediately. I was, you know, jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks and whatever else I could do.
You were on your way here.
I was so happy.
Yep.
I was so happy because
to do that lost episode.
But he is, because that's a running back that's going to, you know, imagine, just think of us down the one of these games that we need to control the clock at late in the game. I feel Wilson can help us. He can get those yards.
So
I
we
really
got,
love him.
We got Chubb, who we feel like was the missing piece.
We thought so.
A missing piece.
I still think he is.
Yeah. Well, I saw him in the backfield. I saw him beating his guy, getting pressure. But Fields is just impossible. I mean, he was faking every defender out of his shoes. Obviously, he had that 60-plus yard run against us, but it wasn't just that. It was just every time we got pressure on him, he'd step up and dodge and put on the speed and outrun people. And that guy's – as far as running quarterbacks go, he's got the full package.
Let me tell you, when looking at the numbers, we had Ingram as our best pass rusher, Phillips number 2, Chubb number 3, Wilkins number 4. These are based on what they did, how many passes were attempted when he was in there. He was in there quite a bit.
Yeah.
30 different pass attempts.
Okay. You know? Well.
So he was in there a lot.
His
grades were not terrible. It's actually decent for his first game out there. He had a winning percentage of 10.7. Ingram had a winning percentage of 20 and Phillips of 12.5.
Yeah.
So – I mean, they're both over 10%.
Yeah.
You know, and Ingram just had his best game as a Dolphin in a while.
Yeah, he was the player of the month the first month.
He had that sack also. Didn't he have a sack?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He had a sack. He had our only sack.
That's right.
Yeah, so I'm glad to see him. I thought he was going to have a bigger impact. He just didn't. But it's okay. If you look at these numbers, we got a good guy. I'm okay having him and Phillip and Ingram out there.
So, with this added, what's wrong with our defense?
Because really clearly, know what I think of it?
I have some thoughts around it too.
Okay,
but I'm giving you
exactly,
the shot.
Okay, exactly. Our coach. I'm going to put that Boyer is an issue. I keep thinking about. I hate, you know, you have to go back to learn. You know, you have to learn from your mistakes, not commit them again.
Right.
Okay. We look at the Dolphins last year, and we saw a defense that was pathetic and all of a sudden become good against weak competition.
Middle
whatever.
Of the season.
Yeah.
First half of the season, it was atrocious.
The rumors that were going around was that our ex-coach took over.
Flores, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to mention him. He still pisses me off.
Yeah, me
okay.
too,
but
I can use his name.
Okay, you can. I'm done with him. I do appreciate the fact that he's a good defensive mind. And he probably set the Dolphins up very well for victory last year. Even though, you know, we first tanked, we were, what, at 1-7, and then all the defense started playing better. This defense looks like that defense in the first half of last year.
Yes,
it just does. It looks lost on discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It looks
penalties are a big sign of lack of discipline and poor coaching.
It just does not look like a defense that, is
how scheming. Does X have zero interceptions?
Because we weren't rushing the. I think now we
not
have
enough
that
pressure.
If you take Chubbs out of this game, by the way, we mm-hmm. have barely any pressure.
Yeah,
we just have two guys that are out there hustling. Now we got three.
Yeah,
and heaven knows.
Well, if you can double team Phillips the whole night, and there's no significant pressure from the other side on regular four man rush downs.
I mean, Ogba, by the way, in on 19 rushes, 19 passes. Phillips in the 36, the most, and then. Wilkins and the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
But he was in on 19, and he just is not making a presence. His win ratio was zero.
Yeah, there's something wrong
zero.
With him. There's something very wrong with Ogba.
Zero.
Because he was awesome last year.
Zero.
And there before.
I mean, I hear you. He didn't win one.
That's right.
Wow.
I didn't see him the whole – I mean, I watched the game, even though I was exhausted – I sat there and put my bleary eyes on that screen last night.
There's something wrong with him.
Studied it. Yep.
There is something wrong. But anyway, that's why we made that trade. I think it's going to pay dividends for us down the line. But this defense, the problem is our coaching. We're probably going to need a coaching change at the end of this year.
I don't disagree.
And the defensive side of the ball.
If this doesn't flip under Boyer, like immediately. I mean, even before the bye, which is only one game away.
Can we get Quinn from the Cowboys? We wanted him as a head coach almost, and then we say now, okay, forget the head coach stuff. Well, we'll bring you as a defensive coordinator.
I don't think it's a, you know.
I say, listen,
how do you get a guy to take the same role on a different team?
You take him on Ross's yacht. No, I don't want to go there. Okay.
Oh, no, we'll lose more draft picks.
No. We don't want to get there. No, yeah. That'll cost us more draft picks, right? Well, bad. This is old Dolphins sarcastic joke. We don't want that. No.
Yeah.
Okay. So the defense does need to get help, and I think it's going to have to come in the coaching because I think we have the talent. If this defense doesn't turn it around.
I'm looking at the roster, and even the guys that have subbed in for Jones and whatever, Kohu and Crossan and, with Needham out and all of that, they seem like they get good PFF scores. They make plays.
You mentioned Carew, right? Carew's coverage record?
Kohu. Yeah.
Kohu.
Don't call him Carew, man. That was a disaster.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
That was another
the second round
trade
pick.
Up an extra
That's right.
Pick.
That's yes. Another, anytime he trades up, it's a disaster. But unless he trades the number one picks, like for this guy, I mean, for Chubb, that was brilliant. Kohu, 85% coverage win. I mean, he was our best coverage guy again.
What a great find. I mean, where we bash Greer, that we also have to credit.
Yeah, but everybody else is in the 60s.
So the bottom line, though, is even though we've lost some players, the roster on the defensive side of the ball looks good. So why are we so bad? Why are we giving up so many yards and so many points against bad teams?
Against everybody.
Yeah, basically every game is a heart attack waiting to happen. It's a nail biter. I'm overjoyed.
And by the way,
that we've won the last
Scott,
three.
Scott, I officially given up.
But we
up.
Scraped all three.
Yeah, and I'm officially giving up on saying we're going to crush somebody.
Yeah,
if I say that
we
again,
don't.
If I say that again. Throw some of that dust thing on me that you got there.
There's some batteries
spray.
There. Those will
throw
hurt.
A battery at me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, turn into a Cleveland fan or whatever. I cannot possibly believe that we're ever going to, as long as this defense plays like this, we're going to leave everybody in the game. We're just not putting people
in our last episode, I begged the Dolphins to give me a relaxing game where I'm not stressed out, where I can just enjoy us curb stomping somebody.
And we're playing a team that just traded away their entire defense.
Right.
Like.
Exactly.
And you're thinking, well, we're going to score on them. All we need is our defense. And we just got to start.
And we did score on them, although we should have scored more, which is another point that we need to discuss.
We could have.
You know, some of it I lay at the one, significant weakness that Tua has, and the other is all about coaching.
But look, let's talk about Tua's weaknesses for a second.
Okay. He can sit. All right. Everybody criticized him preseason, during season, last season. Oh, his arm strength, his arm strength, his arm strength. I was sick of hearing about it.
Yeah, he can't throw the
ball.
But
we see it every game.
We've seen him throw the ball 60
yards. He cannot lead Hill.
But, oh, yeah.
And he cannot, you know, I guess he's hit Waddle a few times where he only had to slow up a little, right? But yesterday he had the game-winning touchdown. Waddle at least 3 yards from the defender and accelerating away from him. Basically wide open, no safety behind him, easy touchdown.
Yes.
And Waddle massively underthrew him. He had to stop. He had to turn around.
Massively underthrew him.
Right. Yeah. Did I say that?
You said Waddle.
Oh, well, he underthrew Waddle. Hopefully you all know what I meant.
Waddle wasn't throwing the ball and catching.
Yes. Yeah. No. Right.
I almost said Waddle wasn't playing with himself.
So, yeah. And it wasn't the only underthrow in the game. Right? So.
No. Yeah. But okay. But
the pass interference.
Okay. But.
Was underthrown. And there was another Hill underthrown.
Thank God we have that rule because it's helping us like crazy.
The pass interference rule?
Yeah. It's a great rule. I used to not like it.
It worked for us in this game.
It's almost like an offensive strategy.
We got one called against us. Against Hill. That they all got upset over. I thought it was a clear pass interference. Okay?
And under the rules, it was.
Because,
yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the defender ran through Hill and knocked him off the ball before the ball got there. That is the definition of pass interference.
To me.
The announcers that were crying about it, the outraged coach and players on the sideline, shut the F up.
Yeah.
Because that was, by the rules, a clear pass interference.
Scott, in my book, if anybody's near the cheetah, it should be called pass interference. Okay?
There's
you
that.
You can't be near him unless you're holding him or something, okay?
Yeah. Well, you get near him when Tua underthrows him. That's when you get near him.
And then you're going to get pass interference. So it's awesome.
Hill is amazing. I even said it. I was watching the game after you guys because I had a bunch of stuff again interfere.
Yeah.
It's been like all three of the wins I've had to watch late because I've had stuff going on. And next week I'll be on an airplane, so I'll watch that one late again too. So,
but let's talk about that Tua issue. Okay, Tua, we gotta stop this thing with the long ball. He's not.
What do you
perfect.
Mean by stop it?
I just don't think it's
stop
ever going to change.
Stop the criticism or stop throwing it.
Stop the criticism. We're getting the calls and the penalties.
Yeah.
That rules changes, then we got issues. I don't think it's changing anytime soon.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Tua leads the entire NFL in yards per completion.
Right. So moving past that comment, I love him.
No, but look at
this. He's been, other than that Steelers game,
let me give you a couple
super
of numbers.
Accurate.
Well, let me give you a couple of numbers. 9.2 per attempt.
Yes.
I mean, that's crazy numbers.
It's
almost
awesome.
Every time he completes a ball, it's literally right
a first
there
down.
For a first down.
First down.
Okay, completions. He's at 69,
which is
second in the NFL to one guy, and that great quarterback in Seattle, Wilson. No, I'm sorry, not Wilson.
I still can't believe that.
Not to go too much off track, but did you ever imagine team trading trading a guy like Wilson? And
you're
then,
stealing my line from the lost episode.
How could that even happen? How could that happen?
That's
how
exactly what
happening?
I said last week.
It's crazy. Yeah. But Tua's second in the NFL in completion. Tua is first, in the yards per attempt. Tua is also number one in the NFL, tied with another quarterback, and starts and finish with victories.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
Amazing.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
And we could always play the what if. But I think Flores will still be our coach if Tua would have played last year some games. And I think this year we could have won possibly two more games.
Oh, easy. We should have beaten the Vikings.
Look, Tua's a winner
for sure.
I'll say it. I know we're going to debate this endlessly, and every time Tua underthrows a ball, people are going to go crazy. But every underthrow, noodle arm, whatever you want to call him, I call him the winner's arm because the guy is a winner.
He's it.
And I'll tell you, if we get a decent defense,
yes,
Super Bowl.
Both,
I'm telling you right
sides
now,
of the ball
Bowl.
Playing at a decent level,
at a high level. Not forgetting
again,
high level.
I expected the defense to be
good
this year.
How many turnovers did we get this game?
Zero. Well, unless you count the punt block, that's one.
Yeah, and by the way, I got thoughts on that. But yeah, I mean, we really don't.
You could
get
say Phillips won the game for us.
Yeah, but it, yeah, exactly. And not only that, it goes to
but
my.
You can't take away from the offense.
It goes from my philosophy that you use the great your best players on special team to make things happen. We're using our starting defensive end, basically, or linebacker, whatever you want to call him, outside linebacker. We're using him, and he made the play. And then another guy, Van Ginkel, picks it up and takes it. I mean, it was incredible. It was proper. It was our special teams being special.
I worked from dawn until sunset, you know, building this house shed thing for my son.
I don't know why you get into that. Hire people. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I mean, you've never thought of that?
So exhausted. I didn't even go through the shower until I started the game. I wanted to watch the game so bad. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting on the couch and, like, bleary-eyed. And when that punt block happened, I swear I levitated up off the couch. I went, what? Oh, my God.
It was such a great play.
Yeah.
It was a
and then
a
it was Phillips
changer.
Doing it was notable.
Oh, yes.
He's playing on special teams.
His kid's got a heart, and he plays hard. And they put him in there not because he sucks, but because he's good.
Yeah.
Because okay? he can get in there
difference
and do these
maker.
Things. He's a difference maker.
Yep.
And having said that, there was at least three times that I saw Phillip on defense hustle. I mean, a bunch of times hustle, but he was going for that RPO and just biting into some slow guy, Montgomery, who, by the way, it doesn't scare me. Running the ball up the middle.
Right, Montgomery does not scare me either.
Running the ball up the middle. And somehow
Fields
would,
does, though.
Yeah, and he would bite on it, and Fields would go around him like he wasn't there.
Yep.
Because Fields is a freak.
He is. Yeah.
He's a tremendous athlete.
He's got a Michael Vick running ability.
Yeah, breaking Michael Vick's record, you know, that stood for so many years. I didn't know that record was
He's an ankle breaker. He's
from
fantastic.
2002, that record? Wow.
You know, I've never been a believer in running quarterbacks because they have such a short shelf life.
God, I love them.
But he's so exciting right now in his youth.
It's fun to watch.
Remember Robert Griffin and the guy that was in Tennessee briefly?
It's fun to watch.
The Texas guy, can't think of his name.
Yeah, the guy that loves us? Oh, no. You mean the
No, University of Texas and then went to the Titans and,
It sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, until he ran well as a running quarterback, but then couldn't pass to get out of a wet paper
kinda
bag.
Like that
so.
Kid yesterday for Tennessee. Yeah, I heard
he didn't run well or do anything well.
He had
so.
Like 80 yards passing.
Oh my gosh, that was painful to watch.
Yeah. Thank God I didn't watch it. I was in a concert.
Yeah. Lucky you.
Yep. I've been very smart these days with avoiding these catastrophes.
I had my
games.
Run of concerts, and now I'm in a slump.
As long as you're on that subject, everything about the AFC West sucks. Let me tell you. This was supposed to be the division that was the best in football.
Yeah, it's the East.
This is the division
East is
that,
the best.
That they were going to have not one.
Hands down.
Not two, but three teams make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Chargers and
the Chargers,
Chiefs.
Denver, and these guys. And the Raiders.
Denver's got the
improved.
Quarterback, and the Raiders look fantastic, and blah, blah, blah. The Raiders are god-awful. The Chargers are not good.
Yeah, well.
Denver, what the hell happened to Wilson? No idea.
Also,
no idea.
He looks like mentally unstable, too.
I don't know. It's something big time wrong with him.
I hope he gets okay. I've always been a fan of him.
I know,
his.
Me too.
Always been a fan
so,
of
him. So, you know, but, I love football good football players that are solid people at the same time. I cheer for them as long as they're not playing the Dolphins.
Check this out. A glaring weakness is when you look at the schedules, when you look at the standings, you see the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots all with winning records.
Yeah. The Jets won yesterday, right?
Yeah, they beat the Bills.
What?
They beat the Bills.
What?
While you were building your shack,
my God, how did I not know that?
Because the Bills suck.
Holy crap.
So now you look at the Chiefs are in first place, 6-2. The Chargers are 5-3. And then the Broncos with 3-5. The Raiders 2-6. But you know the the one number that jumped out at me that bothers the cheese out of me are points against. Point four, Miami has got 213 points. The Bills 220. How do you like that?
Yeah.
Guys, let's
we're one touchdown behind
let
them.
That sink in.
Yes.
The great now.
And without our starting quarterback for three games.
Ding, ding, ding. There is a qualifier. They've only played eight games.
Oh, we've got one more game.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take that versus not having our starting quarterback
exactly.
for two games.
But we didn't have that. Was one
we
would
have scored more against the Vikings. We
very
would have scored
good, Scotty.
More.
That was exactly.
Yes.
That's the right answer. Okay. No, but this is the part that's so disturbing to me. Defense, 224 points.
Oh, yeah. I would never have thought that. I mean, just look at our defense, the way they played the second half of last season. I thought that would carry over and that we would be a turnover machine, giving our offense the ball back. Think if we were getting the turnovers that we got last year and giving Tua that many more opportunities the way he's playing.
But I mean, it would
we'd
been,
be scoring 40-plus every
we'll
week.
We'd be winning every game by a landslide.
Yeah, but we're
at,
not.
But look at this, Scotty.
It's bad.
Points against. The Bills have given up 118.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one less game.
That's a good defense.
The Jets 176 with one more game.
Yeah.
Of course, nine
okay,
games
that's
just,
not
just
a good
like
defense.
Us.
Yeah.
But we've given up
better
you know,
than
literally
ours.
50 points more.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots have given up 166.
I thought the Patriots would have a better defense, but their offense is so
are.
Bad.
But the Patriots offense is 203 and we are at 213.
Oh my gosh.
So
203?
I'm telling you.
I haven't been watching other teams
I'm
close enough
you,
this year.
The Patriots,
I'm surprised by
the
that.
The Patriots are looking as a better team than us just based on they have scored
raw
almost
numbers.
The same as us.
Yeah.
They're looking at
and
their
less.
Defense is just tenacious.
Yeah.
I mean, they crushed yesterday. They crushed. I mean, they were playing Indianapolis. We just fired their head coach.
Right.
But,
were you
know,
surprised by that? I kind of
no,
was.
No, I wasn't.
If okay, not
they,
being
they just,
immersed in Indianapolis. I know the record.
The reason I wasn't because their team just doesn't look like they're even caring anymore. I mean, they got crushed.
They have zero at quarterback. If you have.
Well, they traded. It was him that wanted Matt Ryan.
It was it him?
I'm sure.
Okay.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but was it the GM or
no,
was
it
the
was
coach?
No, it was him. You know, I feel 100% it was him.
All
because,
right.
you know, it was, and then he made the move and he had a guy that was unprepared. He walked in there completely unprepared.
Yeah.
It was like the guy had never seen a football.
Yeah, well, I'm,
so there's issues.
Reich has had moments as a really good offensive coordinator.
Well,
so.
I don't want him. I got a great coordinator in my team.
He won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
I don't even have to name a coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. I'll just keep Mr. McDaniel. I'm really happy on one side of the ball and with most of the stuff that McDaniel's doing.
Yeah, except
clock management.
It is, you know, being
I've never
dramatic.
Seen anything like this, man.
I'm trying to throttle or governor my drama. But mm-hmm. it honestly feels like it's the worst clock management I've ever seen.
I've ever seen here.
Because it happens so many times.
I mean, we had Collinsworth beat the hell out of him
yeah.
on national television.
But even before that, we have notes from previous games earlier this
and you
season.
You and I have been mentioning, and you know, when we jump on something, for folks, we normally, it comes out right. When we jumped all over how bad Gase was, when people were calling us losers for criticizing him, look, yeah. he turned out to be what he is. We jumped off the Flores bandwagon. Early
yeah.
on with his
I remember some of the comments back in that year. It's like, what's wrong with you guys? We have a winning record. I'm like, you're not paying attention to the details.
It was smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it was.
This team doesn't feel like smoke
no,
and mirrors.
No, it's not.
That's the difference. We feel like we have this problem. And look.
Oh, I'll say this.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to interrupt you because sure. it just flashed in my mind. It's from the lost episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when is the last time you felt like, no matter what's happening in the game, we could win this.
Oh, exactly. The Marino
right?
days.
The Marino days. Because of his ability to move
guys.
The ball and score. Yes. I honestly am getting that feeling back. No matter how bad it looks, no matter, you know, the seesaw or the closeness or being behind, I feel like
but, okay.
this.
Did you notice, when you say the Marino thing, did you notice in this particular game, it seemed like, and also in the Detroit game, boy, they just scored on us. Boom, we just scored again.
Yeah.
It seemed like, okay.
We're going to stay. We outpaced them in this game.
Damn it, this Fields guy, we can't stop him. Wait a minute. We just got the ball. Wait, we're in field goal range. We're in the red zone. It was like you blink an eye, and we're in the red zone.
So, yeah, and we gave up potentially nine points in the red zone. We went into the red zone three times and got 0 points out of it.
Yeah, that's...
And I blame this, if you're going to point a finger of blame, well, no, it's not even blame. It's like if you put some, you know, play calls in that just not executed or whatever, you know, that happens. You don't score every single time, right? Mm-hmm. But we didn't march ourselves backwards with penalties like we have in the past. This was a much better game in terms of the amount of penalties. But it was coaching decisions.
Well,
there was one where unquestionably I would have kicked the field goal because the difference at that point in the game, 6 versus 3.
Oh, late in the game when he went for the 4th and 1.
Yes.
You know, I've been debating that one. The week before when we were playing a couple of games before and we're playing Pittsburgh. Yeah, we harped on that. It was a terrible call.
Well, nobody heard us harp on it.
Yeah, it was a terrible call. Lost episode. Terrible call because, you know, the obvious reason you were playing circumstances. And we talked about circumstances. We were playing a Pittsburgh team that could barely move the ball with a rookie quarterback who was better throwing the ball to us than to his own team. Even Noah got an interception off this guy, okay? Everybody was in the party. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, after that, I think we'd have no turnovers in the last. We have only those turnovers against Pittsburgh, and I think we have the 3 games without a turnover in between those, sandwiched between those, including the Bears where we had none.
Right. So you brought up Noah. I think that episode was the first time we ever gave Noah Igbinoghene props.
Yeah.
Because he basically won the game for us with that interception.
Yeah, he made a great play.
And it was a great play.
And we got to hand it to the kid for sticking in there. He's taken a beating probably second to none, then maybe Tua, because Tua is ridiculous, the beating he takes. And a lot of it unjustified.
Well, yeah, Tua is unjustified, but Igbinoghene is not.
It was not.
He's been terrible.
But you know what is justified, and we can't gloss it, is the time management of Mr. McDaniel. We get the ball. This particular day, I called you, and you were in your crazy Shaq thing, and I was like steaming. I was
it's
like,
still
man,
not done.
This is not good for my health. This is just not
4 weekends in a row lost.
I mean, imagine. I mean, I'm sitting there going, how can this possibly happen? How could this consistently happen? But we get the ball at the 25-yard line with 2 minutes left. That's used to be in the old days. They would call it what?
Hurry up.
Hurry up, right?
Yeah.
The 2-minute drive.
Two-minute drill. Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Here we go, Dolphins. First play, Raheem runs right guard for 14 yards to the Miami 39.
And then we huddle. Not only do we huddle, but we're taking our time in the huddle. And that's where I got up on my feet, exhausted, and started yelling at the screen.
So,
what are you doing?
So then Tua scrambles left to the left, and he goes to the 43 yards for 4 yards. Now it's 2nd and 6, excuse me, at the 43-yard line, right? We went to the 39.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now we're down to a minute.
A minute 4.
Yeah.
So we've wasted almost a minute in two
on
plays.
On two plays.
And we haven't done anything. We still
under 2 minutes
urgency.
Left in the game.
Okay.
That's terrible.
So now it's you know, it's 3rd and 6, right? He throws an incomplete pass. The ball stops. 3rd and 6. Tua throws a beautiful long ball to Hill to the 18-yard line for 39 yards.
Yeah, that was awesome.
At this point, we have
that was a catch and run, too.
We have a minute left. Great pass. Great everything. Great touch. That's what Tua can do.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Now it's 1st and 10 at the 18, and we run Raheem again to the left side where we've
and
had
he
a
does
lot of
not
success.
Get out of bounds.
And he couldn't get out of bounds. The guy made a great play.
He got sealed
no gain.
Off. Yep.
But we decide the best thing to do with
is huddle.
Second
again.
Is huddle with 12 guys in the huddle.
Exactly.
And
let's huddle with 12 guys.
And the guys, the
what
guys,
a disaster.
Lack of coaching.
That's
lack
all
of
on
discipline.
Coaching. Yep.
Now it's down to 25 seconds.
Yeah.
Now
and we had to take the timeout to avoid a 10-second runoff.
We had the ball at the 18.
Yeah.
We ran one play and we ran it down to 20 less more than 30 seconds on one play.
Unreal.
And gaining no yards. If you told me no, we ran it
this is nightmare bad.
It's nightmare
clock management.
And then we got the penalty, of course, and we don't lose the 10 seconds runoff. We go back 5 yards. So now
we spent our timeout.
Yeah, we're at the 23 and we know the rest of it.
Now we got one timeout left.
And it was a disaster. We have one timeout. We have the middle left. It just everything went terrible, and we end up missing the field goal. But you know why you miss a field goal in those? Not be, oh, yes, well, Sanders sucks. I think we missed that field goal because that whole momentum of that drive is broken. The whole thing is broken. It's not like we're kicking the field goal out of joy. Hey, well, guy, we're getting some points.
Yeah.
The team's feeling was like, oh, my God, what have we done?
Well, the team might feel that way, but Sanders is like, I've got my opportunity, and he has been.
He's been terrible.
Yeah. He's been what really happened? Bad. What happened to Sanders?
I think we're in the hunt for a new kicker next
we
year.
We must be.
I keep picking him up in fantasy.
He was money 2 years ago.
I want to play him so bad, but
2 years ago he was money. Well, almost setting records,
and he can't hit a kick over 50. He misses them all.
I don't
know. But look, to close the time management, this has happened 4 times this year, and eventually it will cost us a game.
A game. Yep. It's gonna.
But I'm thinking there's got to be
something.
It'll
probably be a playoff game.
But, you know, but Scott, you got a guy with this intelligence. You got a guy that's this good. A guy that has changed our
right.
team so much.
Yale graduate. He's all the right philosophy. Connecting with the players. Creating a culture. Brilliant at designing plays. Pretty damn awesome at calling them. Like,
I mean,
you know, he makes a mistake here and there, but that's our hindsight.
It seems like he designs these plays, and I know we got
with all the
guys,
motions.
But Scott, doesn't it seem like every play he designs, we're open by like 10 yards?
Yes. So you gotta love him.
I love him.
He's my favorite coach.
And I love
coach.
His aggressive nature.
He's actually my favorite coach of all time on the podium.
Oh wait, and when
right?
he called, yeah, of course, his comments, his sarcasm is brilliant.
Yes,
and his way. You know, yep. The other day was you know, Mr. Ross is on the line, told me not to talk about this, and I mean, it's just hysterical.
It is.
The guy's humor is phenomenal, and even the players have commented how funny he is. I want him to fear
it's
him.
It's easy to love him, but.
I want a little fear. I mean,
there are some flaws.
The time management is something that can be corrected. But my point is that it's just too happening too often. You know, his ballsy calls, I like them. But against the Bears, I don't criticize it so much as I did the Pittsburgh game because
that was a nightmare.
Because we couldn't stop Fields.
Right.
And that's what exactly why you
but
have to go
But we could stop
it.
The Steelers all day long.
But yeah. And a 6-point lead against the Steelers is like 20.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And a 6-point lead against these guys was like a blink of an eye. So yeah, I understood that.
Yeah, yeah.
And had we gotten that first down, game over.
That's right.
And it was still, we still won, but it's just not easy. A field goal, you know, wouldn't have guaranteed anything. So I don't blame him going. And he called the perfect game, the perfect call.
Yeah.
And it would have been a first down.
Tight end was open.
Tua screwed it up.
Tua was rolling right. And
Tua screwed it up.
Threw the ball into the ground.
Tua screwed it up. But Tua, for all the little screw-ups he does, he led the entire NFL in passing this weekend.
Yeah, we can point at these mistakes. They're all obvious. We see them.
That's what I'm saying.
The overall performance is awesome.
I mean, you give me 28 points from a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't care who you're playing. I'm taking it. So Tua, guys, I know that we want Dan Marino wrapped up with Bob Greasy and all kinds of stuff. That's not what we have. We have Tua, a kid who's 6-0.
Yeah.
A quarterback who is got the team has his back, including the players.
Yep.
We have a guy that can't throw the best long ball.
Didn't
but
feel
the,
like that under Flores.
Yeah, he doesn't throw the greatest long ball.
He wasn't even a team captain. We ranted on that for
That's
a long
right.
time.
Yeah, he wasn't even and he didn't want to be a team captain. I think he didn't feel any love from anyone. Now he's got the support. He's got Hill, who's his biggest cheerleader.
Yep.
Waddle, who's shown his relationship.
I still
with
can't.
Him.
I'm watching Hill week after week, and I still can't believe how awesome he is.
He's incredible. And the minute they started saying he doesn't target him in the red zone, boom, he does for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like the Dolphins are saying, "Shut the hell up."
You know?
Every criticism, you know, Tua, and I like the spunk that he did this last week when he said that long ball's looking pretty good, huh? Good for him.
Yeah.
Let him throw it back in the. I mean, listen, he's not going to be Dan Marino.
It wasn't.
Okay. We've already said that. He's not. But
yeah.
You know what? Tua is. And you know damn well, you've known enough football that
yes.
we've watched. If you put a great defense around this kid with the offense we have today, this is
Super
a Super Bowl bound team.
That's right.
It's a Super Bowl bound team.
So, how do we get this defense better?
We got to get coaching
this
man.
Year.
We got to get coaching. It's not going to happen.
Know.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be middle of the road, like I've always told you. This is not an elite defense.
You did. I didn't believe it because I like the roster.
I like the roster too, but it's just there's something lacking, and it's
there
probably
is.
Coaching because the same coaching when Flores was coaching. I said it. When Flores was coaching, we were better. We seemed to dictate. And we were winning games in spite of a very bad offense.
That's right.
Now we're winning games and because really, of a very good offense.
I think, and it wasn't the individual positions then or now, right?
No.
It was overall scheme.
Schemes.
Yeah.
He knew how to scheme, like just like the Patriots do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Patriots just took...
Circle that player and take him out of the game.
Oh, I mean, Pittman, I have him in fantasy. Yeah, we're talking about fantasy.
The Titans did that. They tried to take Kelsey out of the game
last night. I have Pittman in fantasy, and he was on my bench the minute they played New England.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to even borrow because I know they're going to put 15 guys on him.
Yeah.
Oh, you only allowed 11, 12.
You
got to
beat us this other way because we're
Forget
taking
11.
This away from you.
Somehow they're going to find extra Patriots. They're going to shut you out. I want that for our defense, and I don't think we have that. And
I don't
think
we do
coaching.
Either. Yeah.
It's all coaching. And look, next year we could get another corner. We need to go after corners. We have a lot of good corners that are injured.
Yeah. Well, hey, that brings up Byron Jones.
Oh God.
So
I don't know. Is
he ever
going to come back?
It's been such a mystery around him.
Like nobody even talks about him.
Well, reporters ask about him almost every press conference, and then we don't. You know. Get a clear answer. So I was going to ask you, do you think he'll come back after the bye? Or do you think that if we make the playoffs, that's the first time we'll see him? Or is he just done? We're never going to see him again.
Well, I think he's done for the year. I'm just amazed that they haven't IR him.
Yeah, well, so why wouldn't you IR him?
You know, just done. I think that they're holding out a hope that he's going to return to practice, but I'm reading right here. This is the last report was 8 days, 5 days, 6 days. Oh my God, a good vision here.
Yeah.
Six days ago, has not returned to practice. That's all they said. I don't see him playing. Maybe after the bye, we'll hopefully get him on the field. But you got to practice first before Byron might be done. And we've had all this bad luck. We can go down the name of all these people. We got the kid from Alexander, Minnesota. We thought, hey, this is the guy, a veteran. Boom, gets hurt and won the next preseason game.
Yeah.
We had our young kids go down with injuries. It's just been a bad year for our injuries. But that's not an excuse.
I already forgot the name of the kid that looked great in preseason and came out first game, and he was looking good, and then he got hurt.
He was having a great game, Alex. Yeah. Alejandro, my son was in love with that kid. He said the kid was just great. He was playing his tail off.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was going to be our fourth corner. That's the craziest part.
I know.
Our fourth. And we ended up, you know, losing him. We ended up losing even our slot. Everybody, you know, McNeil.
Needham.
Yeah, Needham, sorry. Needham, we lost him. We lost everybody. We just went back to the McNeil days. My God. I used to love that kid. we've lost so many players that's difficult. That is the challenging part for Boyer. But what pisses me off is this defense is not – I mean, we knew what Fields was going to do.
Yes,
right?
We did.
Was there, like, anything shocked you that he did?
No.
Besides running for almost 200 yards?
Well, he amazed me.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
I expected it.
But I expected him to have a good game against.
Yes.
Him.
Not that game, though.
I did not. I expected. Yeah. When I did my breakdown of whether, you know, what my looks were for him, for, you know, for obvious reasons.
If you're going to spy him.
No, but
You have to make sure the right player is spying him,
too. I expected him. This is exactly what I expected. 60 to 80 yards rushing. Because I thought he was going to, you know, shred us a little bit. And I expected him to run for one touchdown, pass for another.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't expect this.
32 points
and nonstop. I mean, he outscored our offense, which is scary. You know? So look, moving forward now, we got the W. And you know, guys, this is the games that Miami always lost.
And
we
now
have to
we're
remember
winning.
That.
Yeah.
Not
with Flo. We didn't always lose them with Flo.
No, but historically, for many years, this is typical. Oh, we should have won this game,
but the Gase, the
oh my God, we were in the
building.
We were in the game, but this other guy was such a great running back. There's always a good excuse.
Yep,
this team is not they come out there, they play their tails off, they win. They have a lot of tenacity. I see that. I think we're gonna win. The next two games, it looks like, you know, like we really Cleveland and
Browns,
Houston.
Browns and then bye and then Houston.
Yes.
Yep.
Those are winnable games.
Yes, they are.
That'll put Miami at 8-3.
How? So You and I know that Nick Chubb is the offense the Browns.
They have to right? take him out.
Just like we knew Fields was the offense for the Bears. And we failed to stop Fields.
I don't think we're going to stop.
Are we going to stop Chubb?
No. Put the other Chubb on him and see what happens. Yes. We'll have a Chubb meeting. No, it's not going to happen.
Chubb.
No. Our defense is not a
Chubb squared.
I don't have faith, you know. Chubb salad. I don't have faith that our team.
That's a good Chubby.
Do the Chubby dance. No, I really don't see how the team is going to stop. I mean, Bissett, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, I know.
And Mills, I mean, this guy sucks.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry. They do. These guys are terrible quarterbacks.
Yep.
We should win those two games. Now, are we going to stop? No, we're going to be heart-throbbing thing, and we'll win at the end. It'll be one of those.
Yeah, because Alex refuses to ever predict a big win again.
No, I won't do it.
Yep.
I won't do it. We're not going to get – we're going to squeak one out, but we're going to squeak it. These two will
squeak
them out.
We're going to squeak them
out. And we're going to win. And that'll put us at 8-3. That's a hell of a position for a playoff.
It is.
It really is. And we've proven that the Bills are beatable. We're going to go to San Francisco, where I think it's going to be a difficult game for us for many reasons.
Oh, yes. I fear McCaffrey.
But I think we can beat the Chargers at home.
Oh, me too.
At their home.
I expect.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Chargers are a cluster right now.
They are.
They barely beat Atlanta. Oh, God.
I wanted to go to that game, but now I'm going to be flying.
Oh, I might go to both of those games. We'll see what happens. But both of those games are going to be exciting. We're not gonna have a runaway game. Just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's not the team we are today.
We're
the cardiac kids.
Yes. Can I please not have stress every Sunday?
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But isn't it nice to know that we're 6-3? Isn't it nice to know that we have a future that looks bright with a young quarterback that's a winner?
Yes.
With a defense that can get really
good.
That
can get better. Yeah. Yes.
And an offensive
All the
line
potential.
That has gotten so much better.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the topics I had on the card, right? Let's talk about improvements that we see in the offensive line. Let's just spend a minute on it.
Sure. No, that line, I love what I've seen in that line.
It makes me sad because we picked on Eichenberg a lot. We even had that bad nickname for him.
Yeah.
And over the last few games before he got hurt, you could see him getting better.
He was off the chart the
especially
day
in the
off
run
the
game.
Yes.
Especially.
Yes.
Every time we ran on that left side, him and Armstead were just blowing people up and creating holes and sealing off the edge. And it was fantastic to see. It was exciting. You're looking forward. You're like, finally, we're seeing this kid, you know, taking strides forward. He's getting it. He's, you know, being increasingly effective instead of just missing blocks and, you know, all that we saw earlier. So
yeah, our run blocking in this game was not exceptional. It was pretty average in the 60s and 50s.
Yeah, I'm worried about Armstead because now we have the additional problem, the Achilles on him.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah.
We knew that coming in.
We desperately need him.
But the pass blocking, man, I mean, Hunt came in at 87.
Yeah.
Connor Williams at 83.
Hunt has exploded to be an awesome
Wilson, by the
guard.
Way, tremendous run blocking and pass blocking. He was in the 70s.
That's great.
75 almost.
That's so great. We needed him.
Armstead, 70. No, Wilson is a stud. I mean, when we did that trade, I was so sold on what McDaniel's doing because here's a running back that really is a solid running back.
Yeah.
And mixing him in, and then if God forbid, Raheem gets hurt.
You know, I guess I didn't notice the blocking, but I am not surprised by it at all.
Oh, and I mean, let me see. Oh, interesting. You know, he was in on. Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, my God. Raheem was 78 blocking.
Well, both of them did very well.
Both of them were exceptional in blocking.
Yeah.
In pass blocking.
Let's keep Tua upright.
Well, Tua didn't really. I don't think Tua got sacked. No, he didn't. No sacks.
We had a few pressures.
Yeah, but
he looked slow when he was scrambling because we've been watching Fields all night.
Robert Jones gave up two quarterback hits.
Yeah, so he's just, that was his first game starting.
Armstead gave up one, and that's it. Three quarterback hits. We have five hurries, and those hurries were mostly given up by Mr. Shell.
Yeah, okay.
So we still, the two young guys.
Right tackle, are, yeah. The, yeah.
There's
room for improvement, but it is really nice to see, you know, especially future other players being plugged in.
Oh, man.
But it's nice to see that we've taken big strides from last year.
Oh, my God, yes.
We were the worst offensive line in the league last year.
If I told you
there
was a game where you had a right guard named Hunt and a center named Williams, Connor Williams, and they gave up no sacks, no hits, and no hurries.
That's a perfect game.
And by the way, they played each 34 passing plays and 34 running. I mean, they played
fantastic
70 some plays.
I love it.
This is beautiful football.
Yep.
This is really great football that we're at. And this offensive line, I attribute that to coaching. Because those coaches, the first move they made, we've talked about it, which I thought was completely nuts, would take
a
free agent guard at center. Like, oh, yeah. And now he turns out to be a top center in the NFL.
That's awesome.
I mean, great coaching. So what? It only tells you, what is this line going to
do? We questioned it, too. Like, yeah. What is he doing?
Why is he taking a guy that's a good guard and putting him in a – well, obviously, you know,
they were smarter than we were.
and you have to look at, what's a guy going to do when he gets more talent in?
Exactly.
This line could be – the best.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be through the. It's unlikely to be through the draft. So
I don't think it will be at all. Yeah. Well, we got a pretty good second and a third, a couple of thirds, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. But I think we could build it. I think we could build that through a combination of draft and free agency.
All right. Well, I'm not a big fan of Greer drafting offensive linemen,
but I love his number one pick next year.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a great job.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's exciting, Scott. We finally have a team that's going to possibly play in our first playoff game.
Yeah.
Are you ready to think that?
There are some key games in the future, that Bills game in Buffalo and the home game, the last game of the season against the Jets.
No, and New England too, right?
Well, we have another game against New England, but the home game against the Jets is the last game of the season, pretty sure.
Yes, it's to be announced, which is interesting. We don't have a time for it.
Right, so...
They're probably moving it to the Sunday night.
Yeah, if it's the game that it looks like it would be right now, they're going to put it in prime time.
Because there is no Monday night, that game.
Right.
That last game of the season. All right, Scotty, this is great, man. I'm just super and happy that we're doing this again, that the lost episode is behind us, and now we have this found episode. What do we call this? The new episode? The found? Whatever.
I'll come up with a name.
We'll come up with a name. But we're here, and we're here to stay, folks. This is a commitment, and so glad for anybody that hung out with us. This is a lot of fun. This is going to be a magical season that we're riding right now, man.
Yes, and we commit one way or another to get an episode in every week.
There you go. Amen.
Rest of the season.
All right.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Go Dolphins. Dolphins.
Two Old Dolphins Podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. We have a sponsor we'd like to thank, Sawbox Music Company, makers of eclectic stringed instruments, boutique tube amplifiers, and custom portable music devices. Check them out at sawboxguitars.com. That's SawboxGuitars.com. Or find them on Facebook. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there. Or find us on Twitter, where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring, because they are the best.